I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
On this episode, Evolve, Risk of Rain, and new ways to open Pepsi cans. So Halloween is finally over, and I am recovering from all the scary games that I played. And Evolve is in beta. They have another weekend where they're allowing lots and lots of people. I mean lots of people. Like, they're just giving these keys away to, like, everybody. Oh, not beta. I'm sorry. Alpha.
My mom texted me. She's like, I got an Evolve key. What is this thing?
And yet I somehow didn't manage not to get one.
Yeah.
Really? Did you sign up?
I'm not sure. I got the last one, so I figured I was still signed up, right?
For those people who think
you already are in then.
Yeah. Okay.
For those people who think that Chad's actually, like, puts himself on invisible when he's on Steam, no, he just hasn't been on Steam
all the time. I'm on Steam all the time. I just leave it on and never actually play. So
it's like a ghost.
He's like, you know, the whole 500 members thing was all his idea, and then we just told him right now. He's like, oh, we hit 500 members. That's nice. I guess I'll have to do all those things that I said I was going to do.
We'll talk about that later, though.
Yeah, we kind of go down this list of, like, things we're going to talk about. We have ones that say unkept promises, and it says Chad's unkept promises.
I have had a few. I think we all have.
It's true.
Tragic.
So let's talk about Evolve.
Yeah, sure. So I think I'm the only one who really played it this time around. And it's funny because I'm the one who didn't play it last time around.
Yeah.
I wanted you guys to get into it.
I watched you make a shit show out of it.
You know what? Okay, I did poorly. My very first game, I was the monster. Very first game playing.
Well, you said something that when I played the alpha, when was this, a month ago or so? Mm-hmm. You couldn't just say whatever, I don't think. You had to put an order to your list.
Yeah. Now they have I don't care. Like,
Just give me
anything. And that's what I was doing because I wanted to make sure I got into a game.
I'm surprised nobody else decided to play the monster because that was the hardest position to get.
That's what he was saying. Like, how did he get monster? He was thinking...
This is what I'm thinking. I think people don't want to be the monster because you need to know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to farm XP to unlock things if you're not the monster.
Are we already in the farming XP stage?
There's people that are level 11.
Yeah, but why? What's the point? It's going to be wiped out.
If you've already bought the game, maybe it'll transfer over. They haven't said yet.
I doubt it, but it's a pissing contest, man. Everything. It's like, you know, why do you buy a fancy car? It's just, you look better because you're level 11.
I don't know. I would think I would play for fun.
Like, not just that. Fun. You unlock other characters, too.
So, how many characters do they have playable in this alpha?
I believe it's eight hunters and two monsters.
And at release, they're going to have 12 hunters, 3 monsters. Did they say how many maps?
I don't believe so.
Is it still just more?
Should we tell people who have not listened to the podcast before what Evolve is?
We could, but I think everybody knows. It's by Turtle Doc, the same guys who made Left 4 Dead, and it's a asymmetric PvP game. You have one monster, one person playing the monster, 4 people playing the hunter, 4 versus 1. And the monster has to run around, eat a bunch of food, and try to kill off the other guys.
And, food being like creatures.
Yeah, other animals. So he's trying to level up and kind of escape the hunters in the early stages of the game. And the hunters are trying to trap and take down the monster. And if he becomes too powerful, he can take out an objective and win the game, right?
Yeah. Or kill them.
Or kill them. Like, completely wipe them.
If you wipe all 4, I don't think you win, though.
You do. If they're all dead at the same time, you win.
Okay, so you have to completely wipe them. And the 4 classes are Assault, Trapper, Medic, and Support. And then there's going to be different variations on each of these classes.
The other thing is the 4 all are in first person.
Right.
But the monsters,
it's like 2 different games.
The monster's in third person.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like 2 different games. When you're playing as a hunter, you might as well be playing Halo or some shit like that, like Destiny or something, right? You know, it's like a co-op. You're trying to get something done. On the other side, it's almost like you're playing shit. I don't know, like some... third person, like, man, I don't even know how to say, because you don't shoot anything, really. You can throw a big rock as the Goliath, but mostly you're just attacking these little tiny things, which are people. But
it's a farming game. You're kind of like the AD carry. At the beginning of this game, you're really weak, and you're just trying to farm as
much
as you
can.
You're a hard carry. You are a hard carry.
Hyper carry is what they call it. Yeah, that's what you are. Because, you know, you're so weak at the beginning, and then... you're so strong at the end. But, okay, so I'll just...
The monster has three stages.
Yeah.
One, he's weak. He can put... Like, you can't take one guy on, basically. Then stage two, you can take a couple guys on. And then by stage three, you can take the whole team on, basically.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is after the match, it has a little, like, you know, when you used to watch cartoons and it has a little dotted map of where everybody went. It replays where everybody was the entire map. So you can see how, like, Benny Hill the whole thing was. Like,
yeah.
You know, running around.
Should play that song, too.
Yeah, they should. They totally should.
So this is very similar to the tank fights in Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. If you played that game, you know, when somebody gets to become the tank, it completely changes the game. And the four survivors have to take out the tank. And that's kind of what this looked like at the very beginning. On the first alpha, when Chad and I played, I know my big complaint was this felt way too small. It felt like a game mode and not a full game, and I got bored of it really quickly. Now, playing it now, did you notice anything different?
Like, when you said that, I was a skeptic. I was like, no, I probably don't know what he's talking about. I would say within an hour, I was feeling like, is this all there is?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And... Man, it fucking looks amazing. This is the fourth time I'm going to say this week. It's the best thing I've seen on my computer monitor. That's how I rate graphics. What I've seen on my computer, what I can run and all that.
Yeah, this is using the Crytek engine, the newest version, and it does look amazing.
It looks amazing. The UI is great, which I'm a stickler for UI. Presentation, just everything. Everything is... There's nothing wrong with this except for maybe the game. It is fun. I guess. The whole time I was playing, I was like, how much fun am I actually having?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, is there... The thing is, like, between each round that you play, is there any variation? Because to me, it felt like, okay, beginning of the round, the monster runs. We just spend forever running through the jungle trying to catch up to him. Eventually, we catch him. We have a little brawl. Maybe he gets away. Maybe he doesn't. Then we do the same thing over again. And every round... Yeah, every round felt exactly the same. And I played maybe four rounds, and it just got too repetitive for me.
Yeah. So my first game, I was the monster. I did pretty terribly.
And I watched you play this one.
Yeah,
and
it was yelling at me the whole time. And then...
Was well-deserved, by the way, because you did horribly.
You should have watched the following two games where I was other classes. We killed the monster within like 30 seconds.
If you find him early on, he's at a big disadvantage.
Yeah. And that... So the diversity in the class of the hunters is actually... I really like it. You're busy. You have your jobs. You need to do your jobs. And all your jobs are different. When I played the medic, so she has a tranquilizing dart. So
which medic? There was two options.
The first one. I think her name is Val.
Okay.
Yeah. She has a tranquilizing dart, which slows the monster. Obviously, you want to lead off with that. And it tracks it. So if you can get a long-range shot and get it, then that's what you want to do. You want to lead off with that. Then you take out your sniper rifle and you shoot it, and it'll give the monster a weak point that everybody else can shoot at. Oh. And on top of that, you have to heal your buddies.
That sounds like a support role to weaken the monster.
Yeah, they have to give her something. Mm-hmm. You know, it couldn't have just been those two things.
Yeah.
So I thought it was like all the classes are juggling acts. That's what you're doing. You're juggling your abilities.
Yeah. But you're doing your part. And I really like the idea of having roles and split it and dividing those tasks among people.
That's the strongest point of this game is it's TF2-esque, where you're going to do the best if you have a nice variety and everybody's doing their job.
Yeah.
So that's what they nailed. It sounds like I'm saying this is a bad game, guys. It's not a bad game. It's just that... The concept and the hype, it just kind of falls off when you're actually playing the game. Maybe I'm going to love this game when it comes out. I don't see that happening, honestly. It looks amazing. I really... There's some banter amongst the hunters when you're landing. Mm-hmm. It's great. Like, every time, I thought those were really good. It didn't get repetitive or anything. I'm sure it will. Like I said, production value is through the roof.
Yeah. My concern with this game is, and I'm going to sound really negative for a minute here, big surprise.
Hey,
whoa. I know it's a stretch for me. But if you strip this game down to its core, what you have is somebody taking Left 4 Dead 2 and making a mod where all you have is the tank fight, and you do the tank fight over and over again. That's kind of what I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more variance to it because In Left 4 Dead, you don't have abilities.
But how often does it, and that's true, but how often do the fights change, and how much room for different things to happen is there? You know, if you change the maps and you have different things, there's a lot of different directions.
The different hunters change it a little bit.
But for a $60 title, I would expect more. And there's no single player in this at all. This is really going to rely on the community and how many people are playing it. If nobody's playing it, you're not going to have a good time. You're not going to have people to play against. You're going to wait forever to in queue times to get into the game.
I wonder if they are going to treat this similar to a MOBA, where they're going to start releasing characters and releasing that the characters kind of changes the gameplay and keep people...
Yeah, and they said that those, you know, when they release, they're going to have multiple game modes. There's only one game mode. But, I mean, I said this last time we covered this. How much more can you change this?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're going to have four hunters, and you're going to have... Regardless of he's chasing down a train...
Well, maybe they got monster versus monster mode, where you're two monsters running around trying to kill each other, but you got to level up.
That'd be cool.
You know, like...
You just gave me a little nerdgasm, dude.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's ways that you can make...
I think you need to write an email.
There's ways that you can make this...
Well, hunters versus hunters. That would be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the big question is, what are they going to do with this? Are they going to do DLC? Are they going to open it up for mod support? Some people have speculated, because this is 2K Games, the publisher, that it's probably going to be DLC, paid DLC, for more maps, for more monsters, for more hunters, maybe skin packs, different weapons.
Yeah, but still, for $60, like, I'm expecting...
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they take the TF2 route where... the community comes
nobody
up
take else takes the TF2 route.
No, there's a few. Like, that's how it is on, I think, Skyrim, the workshop. Like, people come up with shit, and if it's good, it makes it to the official, you know, thing. Hopefully that's the way they
that's what Counter-Strike does, but then you have to buy the player-made stuff, and they get a turn of the... They get a portion of the profit.
Yeah, but you keep in mind, those games are Source games, and they have... Valve's very open with... with all their stuff. So you can get the SDK for that. I don't see them really opening this up to the community, though. I don't see that for this
game. It's a tricky thing, because Turtle Rock is known for being very mod-friendly, but 2K is known for being heavy DLC. Yeah. So it's going to be somewhere in the... Hopefully,
I don't know who makes a decision on that.
I don't know how
publisher
you
could
be... I don't know how you could be mod-heavy in this game, though. Like... The level of polish here, like,
it seems like too much to mess with.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, I was talking to a listener today who had been playing this too, Sites, and he was commenting on the sound. Yeah, did you notice anything about the soundtrack? He really liked the game, but he wasn't really impressed with the audio. He felt like they could have done a lot more in that department.
Usually, if I don't notice audio, that's probably because I am kind of... That's one of the things I look for. So I didn't notice it, so it's not bad or good, if I were to say.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like neutral for me.
And that's what I had told him too. Like, I didn't, when I played this game originally, I didn't even think of the audio. And you know, like in Left 4 Dead 2, when the tank comes out, like, you hear it. You just, at the very slightest sound, you hear like the grunt, and you hear the music kind of pick up a bit, and you know that shit's going down. So
Chad, it's $5 right now. You should pick it up and we should play.
Left 4 Dead 2.
One of the best.
That's amazing that you don't have that game.
I'll add that to the 8 million games that I should have played.
Albie, can you put that under Unfulfilled Promises, please?
I'm going to change the name of it every time. So let me run... Because the strongest point in this game is the classes. Let me run through the other two that I played. I played the support class, which is kind of this, like, hick, like, hillbilly, like, he kind of looks like a dwarf, really. And, you know, he's got the laser cutter. He's an engineer, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's got a shield that he can put on somebody, and they will take no damage while he has a shield on him. So that's what I'm saying. It's like juggle between help that person tank. And it's crazy, too, because you have this fucking giant monster hitting one of your boys. You put the shield on him. What choice does he have but to change target? See, he has to. Because the shield will run out. But you're forcing... It's so crazy. It's almost like a game of like, you keep away. Like, or, like, you know, when somebody's in the middle and everybody's throwing the ball and he's trying to grab it. Yeah, not hot potato, but, like, just keep away. Like, we're throwing it, and he has to keep running back and forth. And it's not because... And you could almost see the frustration on the monster, because I was there, too. We're like, okay, I can't hit this guy anymore. I gotta chase the medic. Okay, medic flew away. What do I do now? And you're just kind of like...
Yeah.
But some people are really good at... There was one monster
He hid the entire time, hit level 3, and just every time I tried to do something, there was a rock in my face and just wasted us. And it's funny because when I started that round, I said, I really feel like the monster's at a disadvantage, and we got wrecked. And my teammate's like, you really think that they still have a disadvantage? Like, he fucking worked us.
I think that's what it's going to come down to. They got to have a very, very strong matchmaking in this. I really feel like...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because if you come in as a new person and you get an experienced monster, it's no fun for you. But if you're an experienced guy and come in with a rookie monster, you're going to have no fun either because it's just going to be a role fest.
I might even say that matchmaking will make or break this game, really. So the support class also has a like targeted strike from the sky.
Yeah.
But it'll fuck up your own dudes. And so that one's really tricky. It's actually not very effective. And
it seems like it takes a while for that to come in.
Yeah, too. It takes a while for it to come in and the monster.
I was using that the first time I played, I was using that to try to hem the monster in. So if you start running, I would place it down there trying to get him to turn around
towards us. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's area denial.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And then I also
tornadoes played, and smite and shit.
Mm-hmm. I also played the tracker, which probably...
Trapper.
Is probably aesthetically my favorite class because, yes, she has a pet. That's anything that has a pet, that's where I'm
only
at.
One of the trappers have pets, though, I think, right?
Yeah, only one. And she has probably the single best ability for killing the... And that's the mobile arena.
Yeah.
And, dude, fucking... I played her twice. First of all, everybody has four abilities. Her dog, or whatever you want to call that thing, you just push it once, and now it's active. You never have to worry about it. She's the most simple class. All you have is the dog, which you only push once at the beginning of the match, and then it's just doing its thing. It'll pick up... It'll lick people that are down and bring them back to life. And it'll track down the monster. Hmm. And she does good damage. I can't remember. She has some kind of like... Oh, it's like a mortar.
Doesn't she have like some sort of trap thing?
That's what I'm talking about. So she has this thing where she throws it down. And the force field comes up. And the monster can't get out of it.
Yeah.
So I was playing. And this is probably one of the most exciting things. This is the one where the monster had already hit level 3. And I saw it, and it came at me. And I was like, oh, shit. Let me throw that in the mobile arena. So I threw it down, and it leapt, because it knew it was coming, the mobile arena. And it leapt to try to get out of the area, and it hit the wall. And it came down, and we ended up killing it. It was fucking awesome. Like, that was my favorite part of the whole thing.
So I think the trapper, when I played it, the trapper was, like, the key role.
Because, it seems like it.
Because basically the game is reverse hide and seek. It's four people trying to find one thing.
You have to force a fight, and the only way you can do that is with the arena. So, yeah, that was crucial.
Now, and then the
somebody has some sort of... There's something else. There's something that somebody sticks in the ground.
That's the other trapper. The other trapper has harpoon traps.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And so with the enemy, if the monster gets close by, it shoots a harpoon and traps him in that size, but he can... He can go and destroy the harpoon trap.
Oh, I see.
So you can set up multiple ones of those to try to keep the monster hemmed in.
All right, a final word on this. I mean, we've done 20 minutes on this. I'm going to have to say that I'm going to wait for it to go on sale. That's going to be my, I think.
And that's funny because you were so hyped on this game.
I was. I mean,
and even after we talked about it, you were still hyped.
Conceptually, it's amazing. In actuality...
It's crazy how games are like that, though. Until you actually sit down and play it, you have no idea what you're in for. You can watch as much gameplay footage as you want, do as much reading or read as much reviews as you want, and it doesn't matter. Until you actually sit down and play the game, you don't know if you like it or not.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I know they get a lot of shit, but GamePro, that was like the shittiest magazine ever, they had that fun factor, you know, thing. You got to really ask yourself every once in a while, am I really having fun here, or am I just going through the paces?
See, that's funny you say that. Like, when we were both playing WoW, you were the guy that was going and doing the dailies and all the other stuff. And like, it seems to me like you sometimes forget about the fun because you're so invested in stuff. And that doesn't happen to me very often. I always like to look at it and make sure it's... Like, I'm not going to do dailies in WoW unless I'm having fun doing the dailies in WoW. Like, right now I'm playing Destiny... And Destiny has like so much you can get a week in both your Vanguard and your Crucible. And I'm not going to do that unless I'm having fun doing it. So, you know, I never hit Crucible.
Yeah, once it becomes a chore, it's like I have enough real life chores.
Yeah,
and it's always a weird balance, you know, where the gameplay stops being fun, but then they'll throw in stuff to keep you playing more and more, even after it becomes fun, and stuff like leveling up, getting perks, things like that. Now, I remember the perk system being fairly limited when I first played this. I don't know if they've expanded on that any.
There was a few that you could pick. Yeah, one that you could pick from, so it's like, okay, I guess I gotta pick this one. Mm-hmm. But by the time I was on my third match, I had three that I could pick up, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think
there's buffs, too. What's interesting about the buffs is, like, you kill a special kind of plant.
That's only the monster, though, right?
No. So, somebody shoots the plant, and then there's a buff there.
Huh.
Anybody can pick it up, whether it be the monster or the, there's that dynamic as well.
Well, if the gameplay is as limited as it seems, they would have to put some sort of system in there to give a reason for people to keep playing so they can level up and achieve something or unlock
something. There is a lot. I was feeling like I was achieving something every match. You could see the little bars. Like the
progress bar going.
Per weapon. Okay, this is how much you did your attack. This is how much time you had him in the mobile arena. No matter what it is, this is how useful your dog was this time. Everything, and there's, I really like that as well. And again, I'm a sucker for UI. The UI was great.
One of the things that I kind of noticed in this game is you play a game like Call of Duty or something, and you kill a lot of people, and you get killed a lot. But there's like a... It doesn't stress the mind or the brain. It's just a sit down and do it, and then you play, and then you quit. This game to me felt almost kind of like I was doing a boss fight in an MMO or something. Like,
is that like, a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think I could play this for very long. Mm. It's just very like...
stressful?
Not stressful, but just taxing. It felt taxing to me.
It's more of a competitive game. It's not casual.
And
it can't be casual by its own nature.
I think maybe because you're either... You know, this 4v1 mechanic, if you're the monster, you basically are determining the fun. And if you're one of the four, you've got those other three people counting on you. But the other thing is, like, if you're the hunters, you get one kill, tops. If you kill the monster, you won. Like, there's no, like, shoot the guy, he respawns, shoot him again.
I tell you what, though. I killed the monster once, and I had a hard-on for at least, like...
Yeah, it's like seconds. It's like a boss fight in an MMO.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't do boss fights for all day. Like, you don't have the brain power to do that. It's just too much work.
What's interesting, though, is... Every time a different person's playing the monster, it's a different boss fight because he has a different style. And he's building his, because he has different perks, he's building it differently according to his playstyle, if he knows what he's doing.
What do you know what the two monsters were that you could pick from in this?
Yes, the monster, the Goliath.
Who kind of looks like an ape, sort of?
Yeah, he's, King Kong, I guess.
Okay.
And the other one, which is more like a Cthulhu flying wizard.
Oh, it flies?
Yeah, they have the Kraken and the Goliath.
Kraken, yeah. The Kraken is like very tentacle-y and flies.
Albert brings up an interesting point. It might have been interesting to have the actual hunters level up by killing creeps. That way it becomes more like a MOBA.
Yeah, the only thing that... I think the only thing that happens is...
You kill them to survive, basically. They'll attack you and you got to kill them to keep...
Yeah, going. I also think they drop buffs. They might...
And I don't remember that from the first time I played, but that's interesting.
The buff mechanic is new. It wasn't around, I don't think.
Okay. All right, so the jury's still out on that one.
So let's get into what we really enjoyed this week. That was a fucking out of nowhere.
Shot in the dark.
Yeah, a little surprise. A little shout out to Seawill. I don't know if that's how you pronounce your own name, but let us know phonetic spelling.
Please. Quill?
Quill.
Maybe it's Quill?
Quill? anyway, he gave us three copies of Risk of Rain, or four copies, three or four copies, and we started playing it, and right away...
Wait, first of all, worst name ever? Like...
Risk of Rain?
This whole game is kind of...
Does it apply to anything? What is the Risk of Rain? Like, do we know what the hell that means?
No.
I don't put too much meaning on titles. Destiny. What kind of name is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
I'm waiting for a game to come out.
I guess I worry about that more because I keep bringing it up with terrible names. What was that? What was that horror game that you played that sounded like a Nickelodeon?
Oh, Dread Out.
Dread Out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where that came from, but yeah. I don't know. But Risk of Rain, I don't know. I'm okay with it. It's got a bit of alliteration going on. RR. I mean, they could have just called it Risky Rain. That's a little more catch. catchy to me. I don't know.
Sounds even worse.
Yeah, Albert fucking texted me the other day. Like, I was like, hey, you want to play? And then he got back to me. He's like, you want to get risky? And I knew exactly what he was talking about or something like that. Anyway, I really fucking love this game. It's really, really good. Bobby, by the way, it's changed completely since last time you played.
Yeah.
There's been a patch.
So who's the developer? Is this Hopu?
I'm going to say one guy.
No, is that Hopu Games? I think, a new developer.
Well, I believe it was made on Game Maker. So, like,
why don't you tell the listeners what kind of game it is?
Sure. It's a roguelike side-scroller.
8-bit?
Very, very, 8-bit graphics.
Multiplayer co-op.
Yeah, multiplayer co-op. I'm going to say that it is pretty much Binding of Isaac in space. But it's a side-scroller instead of top-down, pretty much.
So it's got
so many similarities.
It's got a loot pinata kind of feel to it, meaning you're picking up items that change your character, and it's random in nature.
Yeah.
Similar to Binding.
But there isn't, like, tons of drops. Pinata one makes me imply that there's a lot of stuff.
You're right.
It's kind of sparse, actually.
There's also, you can choose characters at the beginning, and you have to unlock more. So your gameplay
changes
based on the character you're
way
playing.
Way more than Binding of Isaac, actually. Yeah. Binding of Isaac, you're getting, like, little perks or whatever when you change characters. These ones, I feel like the character classes were very diverse, and they felt like you were playing a different game almost. That good.
Yeah.
Really well done.
And they definitely seem to have rules. Like, well, I don't know. You guys played more than me, but I unlocked one character, and he was definitely a
tank. The tank. Yeah. He was definitely a tank, yeah.
That was the Enforcer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Enforcer.
So the premise of the game is you basically are on this alien world, and you have to find the teleporter. And the maps are the same, but they change slightly.
They're procedurally generated.
They're not. They change, but they're basically the same layout, but they'll have little differences.
Well,
but
that's what I mean by procedurally.
But
no, they're not, though. It's just like building blocks that they put it together. There's the same five building blocks, and they might put them together differently.
That's still a variation. I mean, it's generated randomly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the portal placement is always different, right?
Yeah, but the premise is you got to find the portal. So you're looking all over for the map to try to find this portal, and enemies start spawning randomly. Mm-hmm. Once you get the portal, you activate it, and then for 90 seconds you have to survive. They spawn a boss. They spawn lots of enemies. 90 seconds you got to survive. If you survive the 90 seconds, the enemies stop spawning. Once you clear out all the enemies, you can go to the next level, right?
Isn't that
the
basic?
Well, so it's a race against time.
Yeah. Here's the mechanic that's new and novel, and this is why I've never seen this in a game. Mm-hmm. The game is getting harder no matter what you do. By time, it's getting harder and harder. There's a little gauge on the right. So every time that it hits a new tier, all the monsters get harder, and no matter what you're doing, it's going to get harder. So you got to kind of hurry, but at the same time, you want to kind of explore and try to get power-ups.
It's a trade-off. So you can either...
It's a trade-off, yeah.
You can either try to go through it as fast as you can, missing power-ups, to try to get through the levels as quickly as you can to keep your difficulty down.
Right.
Or you go through picking up the power-ups... Which are random, but your difficulty is going up the whole time you're doing it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it's kind of like a train that's taking off. It's going to take off no matter what. It's up to you to keep up with that train and be able to jump on at some point. It doesn't give a fuck what you're doing. Yeah. It's just going to get harder and harder and harder. So you got to there's always this like slight pressure, which is nice. It's not, like I said, it's completely novel. Great idea. Great idea. And that it was made on something like Game Maker, I'm even more impressed with it.
And we don't know who the developer is, but the publisher is Chucklefish, and they're the same people that published
Hopu. I remember, because I was like,
okay,
why would you call your company Hopu?
All right. So they're probably right. a new one.
H-O-P-P-O, right?
H-O-P-O-O.
Oh. Hmm.
Got the word poo in it.
Yeah.
It's not good. But Chucklefish, they're the same publisher from Starbound.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, and they have the creepiest fucking chuckle at the beginning of their game.
They don't have that on
this one. No, they don't have it on this one. But not to say it's not without its faults. When me and Bobby were playing, it was incredibly fucking difficult. Like, super duper hard.
And I kind of like that. You know, oh, it's finally something's going to kick my ass. I come home. First of all, Chad comes in drunk. And he's looking at my me playing. He goes, "This looks fucking terrible. This is
stupid." Well, the graphics are worse than Nintendo, right?
Nintendo-esque.
Like,
they're pretty bad. They're very pixelated, and the character that you play as is extremely small.
Yeah. So if you're watching this and don't know what this game is about, it looks like a flash game. It looks like something that you could be playing on the internet.
And it doesn't use the mouse either, which I didn't like very much. You have to use the arrow keys on the keyboard, and then what, Z, X, C, and V?
I changed all mine. I couldn't do it.
There is support for the gamepad, though, and it might be easier with that. I didn't find it any easier. Well, I don't know. It might have been, but I didn't spend the time to get used to it and actually learn the gamepad. I just stuck with the keyboard.
So Chad came in. He talked fucking mad shit. This is the worst game ever. Then he sat down and watched me play it for 30 minutes. And then he probably put in, what, 6 hours this week? 7 hours?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
I thought it was the worst game that I'd seen in a while.
Just like Binding of Isaac. Same thing happened.
But then I got it. I checked the email because it had been sent to me. Hey, you got a free copy. And I was like, well, I can't not get this free copy. So And it took like 30 seconds to install. So I was like, okay, let's give it a go.
Yeah.
And then you came in after I'd been playing for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're fucking kicking ass. He's on the last level. He's covered in all these power-ups. And he looks invincible. And I'm like, I'm trying to do the gaming math here. And I was like,
Maybe I'm really good at this.
Maybe
game.
Chad is better at platformers, but not this much. Like,
you were having a hard time getting level 2, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like level 14.
Yeah.
You can't.
You get level 1 at level 1. You go to level 2, and you might have a quarter of level 2 filled. And I'm like, man, it seems really off. And then I go over to Chad when he's playing the next day, maybe a day after, and he's level 14. I'm like, and he's... I'm not kidding, guys. Glowing out of every orifice and killing shit without even trying because he has so many like little robots around him and he's just fucking... I was like, wow, he's going to beat the game. And he's like, I'm just good. And then he goes, okay, I'm going to be honest. There might have been a patch. And so the patch brought it all together and it made it easier. And so we thought, oh, we're going to burn through this game. I'm going to be honest. We tried to beat the game last night. Was it last night?
Yeah.
It was. And I'm going to go ahead and chalk it up to human error that we didn't beat the game.
So Emilio likes to turn his brain off when he plays games. And when you get to the last teleporter, to get to the last level, you actually have to push a different button. So normally you push A to use the teleporter once you've beaten all the enemies. But to get to the last level, you have to actually push Q. A just returns you to the first level and lets you... level up some more if you want. So
every single time
he proceeded to three or four times in a row.
Yep.
Just go up to the teleporter and push A. We never actually got to the last level.
Yeah.
That those runs
because we kept dying because everything ramps up.
And it's got a bug right now that if you die in multiplayer, when you come back, you can't see your life bar or your cooldowns.
Yeah, it's permadeath until your partner gets through the level and you get to come back, but you still don't get to see your life bar. And it's really fucked.
Do you think that's a bug, right?
I think that's a bug, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because they would at least show you your abilities if it was supposed to be a penalty.
Yeah.
And there were other issues, too, that we ran into. Like, enemies would get stuck in these things that were kind of like jump pads, and they would skyrocket to the top of the map, go off the map, and then come floating down.
The patch didn't fix that, unfortunately. I played it so much. Ugh, fuck, guys. I really like this game. I've been playing it a lot.
This is your Binding of Isaac.
This is my Binding of Isaac
2.0.
Until... Oh, that's what I'm going to be playing next week.
Is that coming out next week?
Yeah, in a couple days now.
Okay.
The 4th, I believe.
I can be your minion running around.
Yeah,
I like that this game is multiplayer though. Like,
although let's talk about 40
ports and all this.
God, come on, guys! Have we haven't gotten to the point yet where we have to forward ports and like pull up router configurations and like we spent 45 minutes trying to get this figured out. We had to I had to check my firewall. I had to forward my ports from the router.
Yeah. Well, that was the problem with Starbound, too, is that, I don't know if they might have had dedicated servers like in Minecraft that people have set up, but in StarCraft, we had to forward ports and give out IPs and do all that shit. But yeah, there's a great program that Albert is mentioning here, Hamachi.
I know, but honestly, haven't we gotten to the point where we can play multiplayer without a third party software?
Well, with a game like this, where it looks like, you know, it was made with Game Maker, this looks like a real small indie project. They probably doesn't have that kind of support. But yeah, it is pretty ridiculous that we have to do that this day and age.
What do you think of the game? You haven't talked a whole lot about your...
I like it. I haven't played as much as you guys.
How much is this game, by the way? Because SeaWheel hooked us up for free.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious on
it. It was on the Humble Bundle. I don't know how often it's going to be on sale. Let me see what the price on that is. I think Albert's got that up there. $9.99 for a single copy, 4-pack for $30. But you can get this on sale for a lot cheaper at certain points. Overwhelmingly positive are the reviews.
I would say it's worth $10, though.
I would say if you're into roguelikes,
yeah,
this would be one to pick up.
Or if you don't even know if you're into roguelikes, either this or Binding of Isaac, if you want to check it out.
Is this something you're going to play single player, though? Or is this something only with friends?
I've been playing a single player, so let's
have it. Yeah,
it's almost easier a single player.
I unlocked a character called Acrid, and I've been loving his play style, so I've been playing him a bunch.
Oh, Bobby, remember there was... You can kind of see who you're going to unlock because they're all shaded out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that there was somebody that was a prisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got the prisoner. It's this acid-based
dot. He doesn't have a ranged attack. He only has a melee attack. But
he's really good.
But he can drop slime on the ground, which slows and damages people.
He does
and then
mad damage.
He does this attack. His main attack, his like ultra attack, is a pestilence that does a ton of damage. And then when it's done, it goes to two other people close by and does their damage. And then they keep splitting. Hmm. So if I've got a group of people, I drop the slime and do that thing. It just does massive damage.
Wow!
And a lot of the bosses have multiple joint points that you can hit. So it will,
it's like the
propagate. It will propagate to all the different joint points and just do a ton of damage to
it's
bosses.
It's like the bosses are made up of little tiny mobs.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you could infect each one of them.
Yeah. Hmm. So, like, I've been having a blast.
And I just unlocked the engineer and I was like, oh, this is my motherfucker right here.
Yeah.
He has turrets. So
he has turrets and the three grenade thing that's really strong.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting is they've got artifacts that you can use. So they're hard to find, but if you get these artifacts, you can actually enable them or disable them. So one of the artifacts we were playing around with yesterday or 2 days ago is your loot drops aren't random.
You can actually choose what you want.
So when you
and
pick
you would
up,
think this would be amazing.
It is, but you are you're in danger while you're doing it.
Yeah, that's true too.
It doesn't pause.
Yeah.
So. It's got some cool, interesting stuff.
I'm glad you brought up the artifacts, Chad, because I found two of them, or three of them.
Yeah.
Two, I think.
Two.
And I felt really cool. I was like, it's almost like finding a warp in Super Mario or something. Like, I found, like, this is really hidden in the game. It's usually somewhere, like...
And so it's on a map, but the map doesn't always spawn it. So you have to get on the map... Get it
on
when
a time
it's
that
spawned
it
and find it and be able to get to it.
Yeah, and you need to recognize that something's amiss.
Yeah.
There's some fuckery afoot.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, I got this shit. Like, it's cool. Yeah. There's really a sense of accomplishment when you find these artifacts. Great level. And my favorite part of the whole game, the music. The music's fucking stellar. I really, really like
it. For what this game is, the music.
I really enjoy it.
He's humming to himself, but of course, the music isn't synced up between us two, so he's humming some part.
And, you know what's funny?
Fucking with my music.
I know I keep up bringing Binding of Isaac, but they're so similar. Binding of Isaac had a great soundtrack, too. Maybe that has a lot to do with how well Roguelike does, because you're doing the same shit over and over. So if there's some pleasant shit going on at the same time you're playing as the Roguelike, maybe it adds to it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, thumbs up. Grab it. I couldn't recommend
it
more.
One thing that I guess I'm a little annoyed with, not really annoyed, is there's what, like 15
characters? Me killing you on the last boss?
That bothers me.
That totally happened.
There's like 15 like characters you can unlock or so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten 4 unlocked, and I have no idea how to unlock the other ones.
Oh, you can look them up.
Well, I know, but like, wouldn't you like...
We don't like to cheat, Bobby.
Yeah.
We're not cheaters.
It's not really cheating. You figure out how to unlock them. Even if you know how to unlock them, it doesn't make it any easier. A lot of them are killing bosses or just being at the right place at the right time.
There's a lot of that. There's also these golden chests that cost way more gold than you'll ever have on that level. I don't know how you're supposed to get those.
So I had enough gold for one.
Oh.
And then I realized...
Do tell.
The chest is up in some ridiculous spot that I would need, like, triple jump to get up to.
Shit.
And I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah. It's a cool game.
So I highly recommend it. If I had spent $10, I still would have had a good time, but yeah. I'm kind of into these roguelikes.
Yeah.
If you're not into roguelikes, then, you know, if you pick it up for a dollar or two, I think anybody should pick it up for a dollar or two, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you find this on a deal, and usually you can find it on a deal with the 4-pack. Might even still be on the Humble Bundle, too.
Bobby, Yearwalk?
Yearwalk, yeah. I talked a little bit about that last week. That was the Swedish adventure puzzle horror game that I had started playing. If I had known how short it was going to be, I would have just finished it up last week. Like, I really only had about half an hour left.
Is this the one that made you yell at your computer?
Yeah, it had a pretty good jump scare. Had another one in it a little later in the game, too. Unfortunately, I really liked this game, and I was saying that last week, but I felt like it was over before it started. This is made by...
This was like a minute of sex life.
This was actually supposed to be a screenplay. It was supposed to be a movie that these guys had an idea for, and they thought it would work better as a video game. They kind of adapted it for that.
Good for them.
Yeah. And it was on the iOS for a long time, which gives you an idea of what kind of game it is. It's very simplistic. The graphics aren't anything amazing, yet it looks really good. It looks kind of like a 2.5D construction paper kind of style. Almost
Paper
like
Mario.
South Park. Yeah, Paper Mario, South Park.
But better. Definitely better.
Definitely with a winter theme, a lot of snow, a lot of Christmas stuff almost it looks like. But it gives you the illusion of being very calming, and then really creepy things happen.
Like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, not even just the jump scares. Those will catch you off guard, but also just creepy things like a doll that gives you a hint for a puzzle. You have to spin it around, and then it winds up and rotates. And when it finishes rotating, its face is... The original face that you saw isn't there, and instead there's like scratch marks with blood on it or something, which is really disturbing. But it does... Yeah, very unsettling.
I have to say this, man. Hats off to you for playing all these games, because... We talk about every episode. I literally cannot play these games. I cannot.
You'd be surprised. If you played one or two and made it through it, then you...
No. I could play them. Yeah, I could play them. I could get through it, but I wouldn't enjoy myself. You know, me getting scared is not an enjoyable thing. Yeah.
It takes a toll on me. Like, after all these games I've played, I feel a little worn down by them. I'm ready for something a little different.
Butthole's all puckered up.
Yeah. It's like an open Pepsi can with your asshole.
Whoa. Jesus. Edit point now.
So,
Chad opens do you up Pepsi can with his asshole.
So, scary movies. Do you like watching scary movies? Because I get no enjoyment out of scary movies.
Oh, yeah, I love scary movies.
Like,
yeah, I don't get them either.
I just don't get it. Like, why do I want to be frightened? Why
it's like a roller coaster, you know? You're looking for a thrill.
But I like the speed on roller coasters. I don't like the, like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. It's definitely a matter of preference.
Yeah, it's a matter of preference.
Definitely.
It's just one of those things, man.
With scary movies, scary games, whatever. Like, it has diminishing returns. And after a while, the more you play, the more you watch, the less scary everything is.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I watched a movie and been, like, honestly creeped out or scared or anything like that. You know, jump scares are one thing. You know, you can make anybody jump, but, you know, to honestly get scared from a game or a movie...
You know what scares me? Whenever I'm watching a scary movie and whoever I'm watching it with jumps, and then that scares me. Like, because it's
right
textile. It's right there. It's real. As opposed to something on the screen. Yeah. That's what fucks me up.
I just play these games with the sound off, and then there's nothing scared about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that takes the punch out. It takes the wind out of the sails. Yeah. But this game is probably 2 hours, I think, I spent on it. But I saw a walkthrough on YouTube that was 24 minutes. So if you know exactly what you're doing and you know how to solve each puzzle, you could breeze through this in less than half an hour. So that's how long this game is.
Yeah, I guess that extra hour and a half was all you looking up how to...
No, the puzzles aren't very difficult. They're actually good. They give you... They have a pretty decent...
They have a hint system. You were talking about this last week.
Right. Well, I was talking about One Heart. These puzzles are not as good as One Heart. I really like those a lot more, and there were more of them. They have a hint system in this one. I didn't really use it that much because the puzzles weren't that difficult, but the map is very small. There aren't too many areas to go. There aren't too many objects to interact with, so it's fairly easy to figure out. But this game, it has a great tone, almost like... what was the Neverending Nightmares? That one just had great sound and was very subtle yet creepy. This game doesn't have as good of a soundtrack, but it is very subtle and very creepy. Like, the mood is just very disturbing.
Aesthetically, it's a triumph. I think it's great. It looks like a work of art. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. And it's on sale for the Halloween sale for like $3 or $4.
Damn.
But it's based on basically a true story on Swedish folklore, which I thought was interesting. It takes place in like the 19th century, and the like Year Walk is like a vision quest or some sort of spiritual quest that they go on during certain holidays, and you know, where they don't eat food and they go out to find like certain truths or something. And the story is fairly interesting, but somewhat one-dimensional. I mean, it's pretty good for what it is. For even though it's very small on a real small scale, this is a really good game. I was really hyped about it last week. I was like, this is amazing. You got to get this. And then I played like 20, 30 more minutes and it was over. And I was like, oh, that was it. Yeah, it could have been, it needed to be a lot longer.
Is it a Swedish developer?
Yeah, I believe so. Simogo is the developer. I'm not familiar with them. I think they're kind of a new.
I'm glad they didn't go with their original title, which is Harfa, Hefa, Harfa, Harfa.
Wow. Oh, my bad. No, I think white people can't be racist. Okay.
I would still recommend this game, though. I thought it was
so good. For five
or less.
Okay. I won't. You're not gonna do that. Let's go. No, that's okay.
You okay.
Okay. So I guess I'll get into looking at this.
I watched you play this too.
Fuck! What the fuck is the name of the other game that looks just like this that I really liked?
Link.
No. God damn it! I'm not gonna come up with it. I can't think of it.
Dungeons of Dreadmore?
Yes, thank you. It looks just like Dungeons of Dreadmore. And so I thought that's what I was getting into because I love Dungeons of Dreadmore so much, which is another roguelike RPG. I'm a sucker for the roguelikes. But this is nothing. This is something new, guys. I'm not saying it's good. It's new, though. So it's a beat-based dungeon crawler. Every step that you take, if you're watching the video, you'll see that the character takes little hops. It doesn't walk. You need to be on beat for every hop that you take. If you mess it up, you won't even move forward. You cannot progress unless you're on beat. Much like me at a club or something. Yeah. You're not going to get any chicks unless you're on beat.
Sure.
So it's at the same time that it's kind of like, okay, so today I recorded the video for this. I played it a little bit last night, but I need to record the video for it today. And my girl's watching me and she's like, why are you bobbing your head? I was like, because I need to get like in the groove of the music that's playing. And so you kind of do. It's a different headspace. Much in like that Portal 2 or Portal put you in a different headspace to figure out these puzzles. You need to think differently. You need to think differently for this. You need to be more of like a quick strategy, and I need to be on beat. Now, I don't know how white people are going to play this game.
There it is.
Wow, it's racist time.
No.
Racist corner with Emilio. Go. Okay.
I'm going to have to say, you guys are lacking in the flavor department. So I don't know how you're going to play this. So it also has visual cues, so I'm figuring that's what Chad's going to use. Now, meanwhile, is it fun? I'm not sure yet. Am I going to play it more? Maybe. I don't know.
Is there an advantage? I'm looking at on the left side there, and it's kind of like a DDR thing telling you if you've done a good job.
Yeah.
Is there an advantage to hitting every single beat?
You literally cannot progress if you're off beat. Well, you can't even take a step.
But you can stand in the same spot and wait for the next beat to come around.
Yes.
Is there an advantage to hitting every beat and moving on?
Yes, you gain strength.
Okay.
Every beat you... especially when you hit somebody. See how the... on the video we're watching, there's a dance floor that appears.
and it's like a disco dance floor, that's when you're at your best. Like, he's hit multiple attacks on time, so you get this, and you can pretty much one-shot things.
So he's trying to match it with the bars that are coming down on the left side?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But so I don't even look at that.
But you just push the direction, right? There's no button. There's no attack button, right? You just push in the direction that you want to go, right?
Right. Yeah.
And this is in sync with the music.
Correct.
So it combines... It's a rhythm game combined with a dungeon crawler.
Yeah. Which is a really interesting concept. I enjoy it. I don't know how much more... I'm going to play a little bit more this week, and I'll have a more concise thing. I've put in less than an hour, so it's not really fair for me to say horrible things about it. I do enjoy the concept. I think it's really cool. I think that's what I was getting into when I bought it, but I'm glad that it's there. And I'm glad that there's visual cues for white people. It's almost like the colorblind mode for...
the one thing that you were saying is they've got multiple songs, and the songs have different beats per minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was watching you play... And all of a sudden, you'd start messing up, and I was wondering what was going on. And you're like, "Oh, I gotta catch the beat again!" Like
The music per level, the music changes, and also there's little like traps that change the tempo of the same song. So it'll be like because you stepped on a trap, right? And then also you could upload your own music and play to your own music that you enjoy. And play to that. I thought that was really clever.
That is cool. You can do that in a lot of like racing games, like Audio Surf, you can do that.
I was watching you play this, and I was frustrated watching you play because, like,
Jed, you need to get over this whole thing of what games look like.
No, it's not that. It's like the better you get at a game, the faster you should be progressing through it, and this game prevents you from doing that because you have to be on beat.
Oh, as far as his movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching you play, like, when you were done with a room and you had to get up to the next room, you couldn't just walk up to the next room. You had to, like, hop along and beat.
That's
like,
true.
And I was just... I could see myself hating this game. Because there's no way to... There's no...
Well, I didn't have no rhythm.
You just have to do it in rhythm.
Yeah.
I have rhythm, motherfucker.
There was another game that combined, it was a platformer, but it also had a rhythm aspect to it. It was called 140. And again, you would have to listen to the audio and listen for the beat. And on certain beats, a platform would be here. Then on the other beat, or on the off beat, it would be here. So it would go here, 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 here. So you'd have to like wait for the beat, jump on the platform, then jump to the next ledge. And they have various puzzles like that, but it was really interesting to see two different concepts combined. It's really weird when they combine rhythm games with something else. Wasn't there a shooter?
There's a shooter coming out. It's called Chrome, I believe.
Chrome?
Yeah. And, like, snipers do more damage if they shoot on beat.
This is funny because I had that same idea. I talked 5 years ago about this same idea. But anyways, I'm a genius. That's all I wanted to say.
Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Final word. I can't recommend it. Wait for my final word next week.
How much?
I paid $10 because it was on sale for the Halloween sale.
You paid $10?
Yeah, I paid $10.
What's that mean?
First of all, take that shitty look off your face.
I'm just surprised that you're not wanting to buy a bunch of games recently. Surprised that a game that I've never heard of until...
You know what? It all came down to, I really thought that it had something to do with Dungeons & Dragons. It looks so much like it, but it has nothing to do with it, really. I pick up items, I don't even know what they do. You know? Because you're on beat the whole time. You can't go into a menu and see what's going on. I guess maybe you can, but I never did. I'm just picking up Golden Sword. Okay, cool, I got a Golden Sword. Keep going. Gotta stay on beat. Gotta stay on beat. Gotta stay on beat. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Great concept. Don't know how much they pulled it off. We'll see. I'll tell you next week.
I kind of thought the concept of rhythm games had kind of been dying out.
Yeah, what is it? One Finger Death Punch? Awesome. I mean, really well executed, fun, cheap, and, you know, this is in that same vein.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd completely classify that as a rhythm game, though.
Yeah, it's more visual based, I guess. Yeah. There's no music to it.
All right. What else have we been playing?
So I've been playing a lot of scary games, and that's finally come to an end. And I made a video about it, which I mentioned last week, the top five scary games of 2014. Now, let me preface this by saying...
you got a little bit of hate for this?
Well, yeah, I expected that. I mean, it's a top five video. It's an opinion piece. So
and
there's
it's the
always,
internet.
And it's the internet. So, yeah, the comment section is always going to be great.
There was a lot of caps lock involved.
Yeah, it was cracking me up. But... I didn't even really feel that committed to my top five. I kept waiting for a game to be the number one game. And all the scary games I've played, I was like, this is top five material, but maybe not the number one. I ended up giving first place to Alien Isolation out of all games. Even though if you listen to the episode on that, it sounded like I really hated it and I railed on it a lot. But I did enjoy it. Out of all the scary games that I played, I think I enjoyed that one the most, despite it being just incredibly long.
I was really surprised that you gave the number two spot to Evil Within, because when we spoke about it, I mean, you're pretty much more negative than positive. And you didn't even talk about how scary was it.
Yeah. So, well, I am always more negative than positive, first of all.
That's and, why they call it a critic.
Yeah.
But I didn't... Yeah, God, I love those lower thirds.
That's a great shot, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. You can see my beautiful view in the background of that video, too.
Yeah.
But... Like I said,
gotcha.
Like, it was so good. My girl watched it and she goes, "Fucking Freddy got me again." It scared her again.
It did. It got me too.
Freddy always gets you, man.
I kept waiting. Like you get tenser and tenser.
Yeah.
The door's not working. Why isn't the door working?
No, man.
It's a hell of a game. Man. But the top five, these were basically just like, hey, here's five scary games that I played this year. And they're only 2014. So the Russian person who commented on there, sorry, no Doom. that was like, what, 2004? But yeah, these are basically just like five scary games that I liked in 2014. And I didn't necessarily rate them on the scariest or necessarily like what was the best. I don't know. It was just my level of fun or enjoyment. For some reason... I'm really close to beating the Evil Within, and I'm actually enjoying it, and I really want to finish that. I've got like less than an hour to go on that game, and I don't know what exactly it is, but I am enjoying that game. So yeah, I gave it number two, and you know, as much as we critique it, it's a AAA title. It's got a lot of content, and there's a lot to like about it.
It's a fun game.
There's a season pass, so I'm assuming there will be DLC.
Let me put you on the spot real quick, Bobby.
Okay.
If you had to pick one, not this year, all-time scary game, go.
Doom 3.
All-time?
Yeah, all-time.
Doom 3 was really good.
Is Doom 3 the one that you had to stop playing because you're like, I can't do this?
No, but I did.
Or that was Doom 4. Is that
Doom 3. There was parts in Doom 3, I swear to God, I closed my eyes and just try to get through the room.
Was that the game where you could only hold your
flashlight or the gun? Yeah, and somebody came up with a duct tape mod. Duct tape mod. Why can't you duct tape your fucking flashlight? But you're losing the game developer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Doom 3 was a very scary game, but I've got to say Outlast. And I gave Outlast the Whistleblower DLC fourth place on this because it was DLC. It was 2.5 hours. Yearwalk might have even made the list if it was longer, but... The DLC, I just couldn't really rate that any higher. But Outlast combined with the DLC, I really liked. I felt like this just had all the right elements. It had the gore. It had the jump scares. It had the creepy factor. You know, it just had good design. There's just so many good things going on there. You felt helpless in the game.
Can you see an outlet for part two? Because they announced it. Red Barrel announced part two. Do you see that? Do you see, like... Are you like, oh, that's going to be awesome? Or is like, where the fuck can they go from here?
I don't know. I'm really interested to see what they do with this, if it's just more of the same or if they try out some new stuff. If it's more of the same, that'll be nice, but it's not going to be great.
Right.
If it's something different, I don't know. They're taking a risk there.
They seem like risk takers, though, a little bit. Because they're a smaller company, right?
Yeah, they're a smaller company. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I can't wait to see more on this game, on Outlast 2, and see like what ideas that they have. But I got a feeling it's just going to be more of the same stuff.
Cool. I've been playing more Wasteland 2. Sorry, guys. I've been talking about how I want to go back. We keep reviewing these games and putting in 1 to 6 hours and then moving on. I want to go back and beat these games. But it takes a lot. I have 30 hours into Wasteland, or like 26, I think, last time I checked. It's getting to the point where it's kind of getting a little repetitive, and a little, I don't know. I didn't know how important, I guess this is a good point, how important really searching your surrounding is. It's top down, so you would think that you could just see everything that's important, but you don't. You need to rotate the camera and you need to like really look around, and that's a good thing. And look for any little thing that might trigger an event or something like that, like a wrench or something like that. I've been rushing through this game, and then I get to a point, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do from here? And then I go back, and I go, oh my God, I missed all this shit. And then I'm like, am I going to finish this game? It's getting to a point where it's getting kind of tedious. I don't really care about the story anymore. I guess I'm 30 hours in. I'm going to finish it. But
30 hours? You haven't beat the game yet. This is a really long game.
Yeah. Well, also, there is the fact of just trying to doing the same fight over and over and over until you get it right, which is kind of nice. Roguelike qualities in that. But it's like, let me strategically figure out where I need to place my guys in order to win this battle and what abilities I need to use. So I like that portion of it, but it does, the hours do add up. Like there was one fight that I tried maybe 7 times before I got it. Maybe I got lucky on all my rolls. You know, it's all rolls on dice, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I got lucky, or maybe my strategy was right, but it did work out that 7th time. So right now I'm at a point where I don't know how I'm going to pass it. There's these robots that are super duper strong. I don't know how I'm going to pass it, but I don't really feel a pull to go figure it out. I don't know. We'll see. It's still a good game. The graphics are the worst part of it. I wish it was a lot more crisp. But that's Wasteland 2. I'm not going to talk about it ever again.
Yeah, if only we could say the same for Skyrim.
Hey, don't bring up that. I was hoping he wasn't going to remember.
Okay. So I think that's it for what we've been playing. Let's talk a little bit news. Not any big stories in the news, but a lot of little things. First of all, re-release of TIE Fighter and X-Wing. These were awesome games back early 90s. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So my number one, obviously, is XCOM. I've said that multiple times. But my number two favorite game of all time is TIE Fighter versus X-Wing. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Which is neither one of these two, though.
Yeah. So the first game was X-Wing.
Okay.
So X-Wing, you played as the Rebel side, mm-hmm. and you could play X-Wings, A-Wings, B-Wings, all sorts of stuff. And then the sequel came out, and it was TIE Fighter. And TIE Fighter, you played as the Imperials, so you could play as TIE Fighters, Imperial Bombers. I forget, there was a couple other ones that you could play with. And then the third one was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which put them kind of all together, up the graphics, up the gameplay. It was just, I never played flight simulators, but I played these. And, you know, space flight simulators, these are just amazing games.
Yeah, and they're charging $9.99 for X-Wing, the special edition.
It is special
or
edition.
TIE Fighter. There's two games. Are
yeah, two different games.
And they're each $10 each.
Yeah, which seems like a
graphics or anything like that?
No, I don't think so, man.
Well, this is on GOG.com, Good Old Games, and they do, I will say this, they do an excellent job of
optimizing.
Not necessarily optimizing, but making sure that these games run on newer systems. You can see right there it says works on Windows, XP, Vista 7, and 8. They make sure that this is going to be compatible and runs. And they also offer you a lot of times PDF files of instruction manuals and like whatever they can. This is a great site. And I talked about them, I think, maybe a couple months ago. I dropped like $25 on this site and picked up some really good classics.
I don't think I've ever bought anything from them, but I'm glad that they exist. There's somebody like this that will bring back old titles so that people can enjoy again.
So this is a part of gaming history, I think. These kind of games right here, you know, your XCOMs and your X-Wings, like these are the games that kind of have progressed the genre forward. This game right here, like, in my mind, kicked off the space flight sim game.
Yeah, because you're in a cockpit.
You're in a cockpit. Your headset display. I bought a joystick just to play this game.
Yeah. Wing Commander come out after? Oh yeah, way after.
Yeah, way after. Yeah. This was 1994. I think TIE Fighter was the one that I spent most of my time in. I played all of them, but TIE Fighter was really my favorite. And I love that game. You really felt like you were in space. It was very tactical. You had to put you know, raise your shields, put more power into shields, put more
firepower.
Switch them
to the front, back, however you're playing. Yeah. And also, like, so you had missions. So if your mission was to defend this escort, you had to defend this escort, which means if it was getting attacked, you had to sacrifice your safety to make sure, because if it blew up, your mission failed. So it was all about, you know, flying through this and being skilled in your ability.
I'm really nerdy right here, but TIE fighters don't have shields, right?
Not the original
technically,
TIE fighter.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and this, I don't think he played as the TIE fighter too often. You usually played as the advanced TIE fighter or the TIE bomber. You play as other things. Mm-hmm. So you could play as a TIE fighter in a few of
the missions. Are you going to pick either one of these up? Or are you going to wait for
his I played these all the way through, all these games. I played all the
been
way
there,
through.
Been there, done that.
So I don't have a huge urgency to do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
except for nostalgia.
Maybe. Except for nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I think $10 which, might be a little pricey
let's
for
be
nostalgia.
Honest, you could probably get your nostalgia fix from YouTube videos if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say this, though. GOG does have sales quite often, though. You will probably see these for sale for $250 at one time or another.
Cool.
I guarantee it. This is back when LucasArts made really good games.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else we got? YouTube has 60 frames per second on some videos, which is only available on Google Chrome, I should say. You have to use Google Chrome. And
why would they tie that in? I don't understand. Oh, wait. Google owns everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But I saw a lot of these 60 frames per second. This was actually brought up to me by a listener, and he asked me if we were going to do 60 FPS videos. I mean, we film in 60 FPS. I don't know. Maybe we could. We'll see. But a lot of this, as of now, is gameplay from video games. And, of course, you know, the comment section is some people saying, I don't see a difference, and other people saying, you're dumb. You know, it's the YouTube comments.
What are comment sections for except for fighting with each other?
Flaming.
With other comments.
Exactly. Yeah. But I got to say, I do see a difference in this. The first video I watched was a Mario Kart video. Totally saw the difference. Much smoother frame rate. And I think gamers are a little more aware of that kind of stuff.
I think it's better for gaming. If you're watching something like Good Mythical Morning or something where it's just talking, Good Mythical Morning. Who cares if it's 30 or 60? But gaming, you want to see it at its natural, whatever it's doing.
Yeah. Well, it's the frame rate argument. And this came up with The Hobbit when they had the high frame rate version of that. And people said, oh, it doesn't look like a movie. And, you know, I'm all for high frame rate. The closer we can get to reality, the better.
So I watched a documentary called Please Subscribe, which is about YouTube. But one of the things that was mentioned there is the top three sites on the internet. I forget how it's like page views or I forget. Yeah. So Facebook is one, Google is two, and YouTube is three.
Yeah, I can see that.
The thing that surprised
four, number four.
Probably. The thing that surprised me was Facebook is above Google. Like, that just boggles my mind. But yeah,
cell phones,
YouTube
man.
YouTube is number three on the internet.
Yeah.
So if anything that YouTube does becomes important.
Yeah.
And two of those are owned by the same company too.
And YouTube is like the new TV basically.
Mm-hmm. YouTube is a cultural changing phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's the death of cable. It will be the death of cable.
Yeah. One of the things that they mentioned was 1 million cable subscribers have canceled in the past year.
Oh yeah. Think about your average 12 to 14 year old at home, not watching, not waiting for 8 p.m. to come on for their favorite show. They're watching their iPad and watching whatever they want when they want.
The only thing I regret canceling cable is sports. Like, that's it. I need a sports channel.
Yeah.
If I could get an internet sports channel, I would be fucking sick.
You can watch the Super Bowl online now. They stream it.
Well.
So for me, I mean, that's about as much sports as I watch. Non esports.
I'm not into
these
watching sweaty guys run around.
I am. I love it. If they're handling balls while they do that. Okay.
All right. Moving on. Twitch.
Thank God we have a fucking ringmaster. Handles.
Gotta keep shit moving here. Okay. So Twitch now has a dress code. Do we have some actual something that we could read on this to see what the actual dress code is? Wearing no clothing or sexually suggestive clothing, including lingerie, swimsuits, pasties, and undergarments, will most likely get you suspended.
Yep. Your new channel.
No full nude torsos, male or female.
Wait, torsos? No belly buttons?
I think from the waist up. You can't be shirtless.
Rude.
Yeah. Even for guys, too. Now, I wonder how this is going to play into, because some of the biggest Twitch channels are girls who, you know, they have their webcam very high, and it's kind of a high-angle shot, and they're wearing clothing that really accentuates the breast area. So, I don't know.
Those are titties, Bobby.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, it's not lingerie. It doesn't really violate any of these rules, but it is, you know, it's definitely sexually suggestive.
I think this is a big deal. Like, there's a lot of Twitch gamers that are making a living off their body.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of people are going to lose their job because of this right here.
Well, let's calm down a second.
No. Let's be honest.
That's a bold statement. I don't think so. I think they've already established their community, first of all. They've already got...
They're going to lose a section of their subscribers.
I think they're still going to be able to show their cleavage, but I think... I don't know. How often was this happening? How many girls in underwear were there?
We need a girl on the show. We need a girl on the show with cleavage.
I know several guys that only have Twitch subscribed to girls that get nearly naked on Twitch. They don't care what they're playing. Which is kind of weird because like their porn is so prevalent on the internet. Like,
all right, I'm going to bring it up. I'm doing it. Wow. What really
you know,
is...
You got to preface it.
This is big.
Okay.
What really is the difference between a webcam girl... and a Twitch girl that's using her sexuality to get hits. It's the same shit, except for one's getting more naked than the other.
Well, I think the gamer community finds it hot if they're in the games and are hot.
Pretending to be in games.
Okay, whatever.
Some of them may be valid.
No, they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, this... We'll see. I will find it hard to believe if this lasts. I think this might be an experiment to see if this... Like, if Twitch starts losing memberships, they're going to do a 180 really quick. Well, like, if you start going to Ustream or some of these other ones, sites that don't have this kind of restriction, you know, they're going to change their attitude pretty
quickly. Was it Facebook or Google that picked them up? Does anybody remember?
Who picked up Twitch? It was Amazon.
Oh, was that? Really?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. I don't think this is really going to affect things too much. I don't think it was that big of a problem to begin with, but I don't know. I don't spend that much time on Twitch watching a lot of
Maybe
these channels.
You, man. I'm beating off way less to Twitch now.
Maybe. okay.
What else we got?
All right. Extra Life 2014 taking place. This is a charity?
Yes.
Chad, I think you have a better grasp on this than any of us do.
So basically, Extra Life is a nonprofit organization that... uses gaming to raise money for
children's hospitals.
And they had on the 25th of October, they had basically a 24-hour marathon. You could sign up, get people to sponsor you. Basically,
when people go on marathons
or like a walk-a-thon when you were in fourth grade or whatever.
Yeah.
So you would be playing games for 24 hours and people would sponsor you. And it was just a way for gamers to use their disposable income to try to help a worthy cause.
$5.4 million, you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
But what you can argue about is this 24 hours of this person enjoying themselves as opposed to jump roping, which is like hard and good for the person.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think it highlights there are gamers that have... Gamers have heart, you know, like they want to be able to...
Gamers have money.
And they have money. Yeah. A large part of them do. Yeah. So it's kind of good to see gamers be active in the charitable community. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I had several friends that were participating in this. I chose not to. But several of my friends streamed for 24 hours and, you know...
I think the...
More power to you if you did.
Stram for 24 hours.
Stram is a past tense?
Past tense.
Okay. Yeah. They stram for 24 hours. That sounds terrible.
Excellent.
Fairly certain that's not correct.
okay. not really a listener question this week. Well, I guess it sort of is. Someone posed a question in our Steam group if anyone had grabbed anything interesting on the Steam sale, the Halloween sale, which will be over by the time this posts, but is currently in progress.
When's it end?
November 3rd.
Chad, please pick up Fallout 3 for $250. Please pick it up for $250. Don't mod it. Just play it.
That's the Game of the Year edition for $679. I think the just the base game, is $250 for Fallout 3. One of the best games out there.
Yeah. According I'm going to go ahead and say, like, the DLC for it was not very good. So just get the base game for $250.
$250.
Please.
Left 4 Dead 2 for $5.
Yep. Yeah, they got some good ones on there. The only thing that I have bought so far is Sir, You Are Being Hunted and Space Ace, which is... Let's not talk about Space Ace, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
But Sir, You Are Being Hunted, I've had my eyes on for a little while, and it was like $4, so I went ahead and picked it up. The only thing I'm even considering picking up, in addition, is Dementium 2. I don't know.
I thought you were
I picked up Crypto the NecroDancer. It was 66% off or whatever it was.
I would recommend Outlast. Outlast and the DLC. If you don't have that, great time to pick it up. Also, a pretty good deal on The Walking Dead Season 1 and 2.
Cool. For these games that will not be on sale when they hear this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, keep your eye out for that shit.
Yeah, in general.
They will probably have, like, a Thanksgiving sale coming up, too. And, of course, the winter sale always happens.
Chad, what was going to happen at 500 members again?
All right, so I've taken pictures. I'll post them up this week. It's got several pictures on what we're going to send out. I'll post up a discussion. I'll include that in the discussion. Just respond with your interest, and we'll pick one from the list at random. We'll pull from a hat or something.
Albie, can you put that under Broken Dreams?
Yeah, no, I'm doing that this week. So this will happen. Somebody will win it. We'll send them off to them, and we'll get that given away.
Faulty Futures. Put it under Faulty Futures.
So check out for the discussion group.
So this is the PAX swag, right?
This is all PAX swag.
Shirts.
I've got Assassin's Creed, Borderlands pre-sequel, I think there's some Walking Dead stuff. There is the Magicka 2 hood.
Yeah.
There's
it's a bunch of swag.
Yeah, there's physical
some
items.
Stuff. There's some Far Cry stuff. It's mostly shirts. Most of the shirts are extra large. So if you're a little dude or a really big dude, maybe this isn't for you. But if you're a medium...
Just eat some food, man. Get some weight.
So check it out. If you're interested, we're giving this away to somebody.
Yep.
So.
As for what we're playing next week, I am going to give my life to Binding of Isaac Rebirth. I cannot wait. It's coming out in like 2 days, 3 days. I'm going to be playing that nonstop with Chad, hopefully. And I can't. That's it. Bye.
Right on.
Yay!
I don't know. I might pick up Titanfall. They got a really good sale on that game right now. And
$10, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it for $10.
Is it worth $10, though? I think so. Shit.
Nah, $10? Hell yeah! I haven't even really.
It looks
played
it's a
triple it since
A.
Beta,
it's a triple A for $10.
Yeah,
there's a reason it's $10.
Yeah.
Well, it's been out for a little while, but I'll probably grab that. I may grab Legend of Grimrock 2. I will play that game at some point. I don't know when, but it will happen.
Great, man.
Yeah,
the graphics.
I really want to play that. That is like number one on my wish list right now.
All right, let's go with that.
I will be playing, so I've been promising for weeks now to play some Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. That is a listener request. So I will try hard to commit to playing that this week. Also, I really want to play Beyond Earth, Civilization Beyond Earth.
Yep.
I haven't played any of the Civilization games. I really want to play it. I'm not sure if this week is the week I will be able to do it. A lot of the listeners have posted up things on what you'd like us to play, and there's a lot of good stuff there. The question is, do I have the time and the money to do it?
Yeah.
I want to play Lichborn. There was a couple.
Lichdom Battle Mage.
Yeah, Lichdom Battle Mage. I really want to play that. There's been a couple things that I'm looking at trying to play, and it's just been difficult to.
Albie, put this on the Unsolved Mysteries, please.
God damn it.
You know, one game that someone suggested on there was Shadowrun Returns, the revamped DLC.
I told them that you would be doing that.
Yeah, you know, eventually I will. That's possibly on the radar very soon too, because I enjoyed the hell out of Shadowrun Returns. I love that so much, and I wanted to play the is it a sequel or DLC? It's kind of a little bit of both. What is that called? Shadowrun Returns Black something Dragon?
It's the. Yeah, what is that one?
It has a special, different name.
Al, get that for us, will you?
Let's see. Shadowrun Returns.
Dragon's Hard-On?
It's something to do with a dragon, right?
Dragon's Cock.
Why are we having this? Terrible. Dragonfall. There it is. Knew it had something to do with a dragon. I think you just said Black Dragon.
Oh,
or maybe that was me. But I may start that one, too, just because I enjoy the original one so much, and they've redone this one and just made it an excellent, excellent game.
So, okay.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
I guess I'm going to have to do it since Emilio had to go pee for the third time, so titties.
Should I go now? Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Fucking titties.